Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Hello, everybody. It's me, Roscoe, and welcome to the latest episode of the Kings of Anglia Tractor Girls Talk podcast, the show where we cover all things Ipswich Town women. And we've got to apologise straight off the bat. I'm joined by Tom Cann, my co-host for this series. And it's been a long time since we last recorded one of these. September, end of September was the last pod after the Portsmouth win, which was a historic victory for Joe Sheehan's team. And since then, we've seen a lot of defeats. And we're not recording after just wins. We've got to record after defeats and reflections on different bits and bobs. But Tom, great to see you, my friend. How are you? We've been going to all the games at home when we can. But yeah, we've got to apologise. We haven't recorded a podcast for a while. Most of it's been my fault, I'll have to admit. But you've got to take some of the blame as well. But how are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, sorry, everyone. It's not easy when, you know, you're doing what you do every day of the week, and my job of, you know, reporting the news for the people of Ipswich doesn't leave an awful lot of time to do a podcast midweek. So, yeah, we've had obviously a lot of games since our last one. Not the best of results in them, but it's been enjoyable still going to the home games, even if it is now absolutely freezing at the JobServe Community Stadium. I think every single match there's been since Portsmouth, I have complained about the cold and not done anything about it. Forgot gloves today. Forgot gloves every game. And yeah, I'm just waiting until I can get a new coat.
Indeed. And yeah, we're recording this off the back of the 2-0 defeat against London City Lionesses. But this podcast will be more of a reflection on the season so far. Going to hear from Joe Sheehan, the Ipswich Town manager. Tom Cann spoke to him after the game. And we've got just bits and bobs we want to discuss because, as we said, it's been a long time. And there's been 7 games since then. Unfortunately, all defeats in the league and the cup. But we're going to do our snap thoughts, Tom, on the Subway Cup defeat. You know, the Tractor Girls were out of that competition. They were out of it before the game against London City Lionesses. It was a 2-0 defeat. How did you look back on that game? It was very cold. It's always cold at Colchester Stadium. It's probably the coldest ground in the country. But that's the last time we talk about the weather. Let's talk about the game because, yeah, a 2-0 defeat against a WSL side.
Yeah. I mean, they were really good. And actually, Ipswich, I thought, did a good job. It was obviously a much changed team, as it has been for the other League Cup games, you know, with sort of fringe players getting starts and getting able to get some fitness back into them, because obviously there has been a lot of injuries at the start of the season for Joe to handle. So it's been a really good chance for him to play some of those players that need that fitness level to go back up. And today I thought, you know, it wasn't the most exciting of games. First half, I thought, Ipswich struggled to get out of their half, but they did defend really well, bar the goal, which I thought could have done a little bit better with. And then the second one is, you know, it just gets played out wide, and unfortunately, as I'll probably come on to in a bit, another cross into the middle and another goal, which has been a big downfall for Ipswich this season, is stopping crosses and, you know, cutting them out. But as a whole, you know, I don't think anyone was expecting them when the teams got, you know, got chosen for the group. Don't think anyone expected Ipswich to get out the group, if I'm honest. You know, two WSL sides, one of them absolutely flying, obviously beat Villa at the weekend in the WSL in London City, and Leicester doing well up there as well. And then Crystal Palace, who had just come down from the WSL. So it was a really tough group to deal with. And I mean, look at today. They started, you know, players that probably wouldn't normally start for them. And then midway through the second half, they bring on Nikita Paris, who is pretty much a household name for being part of, you know, the England squad for the last couple of seasons and playing regularly for them. Two Finnish internationals scored both goals today. An Australian international played. It's just impossible. There's Perez, who won the World Cup with Spain. It's just it's impossible for them to really compete against that sort of caliber of player. So they did well given the circumstances. It was a changed team. International break now, so you know, cup's gone. No more worries about Subway League Cup. Focus on not getting relegated.
Yeah, that's gonna be the next focus. We are gonna hear from Joe on the game. But yeah, myself, you know, there was some late chances, I have to admit, for Town. Natasha Thomas had a chance, Rhea Dean as well. But I don't know. It's just one of those. I think the cup competition is given an opportunity for Joe, as you said, to sort of use his whole squad. But yeah, playing against very good opposition. I just remember them bringing Nikita Paris on. I thought, bloody hell. I bet the defence looked up and went, oh no, got to take on more players. Obviously, Fred Godfrey came on, a former Town loanee who's been called up to the England Lionesses first team squad, which is an incredible story. But yeah, for them to bring on players like that, it's just, yeah, it's always going to be a tough task. But yeah, out of the Subway Cup now. But let's hear it from Joe, Tom, on the game. Let's see what the gaffer had to say on another cup defeat.
Yeah, no, good experience for us. We've utilised the League Cup games to try and rotate some players that perhaps haven't been playing as many minutes as they would have liked. We've done that throughout all of our games so far. Each game's posed a different test. Wasn't quite sure how much they might change, but relatively strong, I think, with some really, really good players and some high profile names both at the start and off the bench. And we knew it was being for a really tough day, but really pleased with the attitude and the application of the group, because, you know, we can't qualify out the group. We're playing a team that won at Villa Park last week, that have performed really well so far in the WSL. So, yeah, not an easy game for us to finish off before the international break. But I thought, yeah, that we made a lot of changes, but the group, super disciplined, great attitude, and thought was unlucky not to cause a bit of carnage at the end, actually. I think scoring a goal late on would have created an interesting ending, which was the plan, but wasn't quite able to get that in the end.
There we go. We'll draw a line then on the cup games. We're not really going to discuss it too much, Tom, because, yeah, it's a competition that we were never going to win. No offence, but it was, as you said, it was always a tough group. But it's all about the league. But we want to sort of reflect on the season so far. It's now going to this latest international break for the Tractor Girls. They've still got two more league games this calendar year. They've got the FA Cup to look forward to as well. The draw is on Monday, tomorrow, or whenever you'll listen to this. Hopefully it's a home tie, because there's another game for us to watch. Because if not, there's no games left for us to go and watch in a home capacity. So hopefully we get a nice FA Cup home draw, and we shall see who we get. But reflections for you so far, Tom. We've played 9 games in the league, 1 win, 7 defeats, 1 draw. Some big defeats, unfortunately. Going to quickly rattle them out because we haven't recorded a podcast since these defeats. Of course, that 7-0 defeat at Bristol City, which was not good at all. 4-1 home defeat to Newcastle. 4-1 home defeat, sorry, to Newcastle. 4-1. Yeah, I'm getting this. 4-0 home defeat to Birmingham. 4-1 home defeat to Newcastle. 3-2 at Sheffield United, which was a disappointing result because of the sort of comeback and stuff in that game. A 2-1 home defeat to Palace as well. So, yeah, it's been some frustrating results, some hammerings, unfortunately. But yeah, we're now 5 points adrift. We are going to have a little discussion on relegation later on in the podcast, because you asked Joe about that. And it's still, you know, too soon to talk about that, but you got to sort of discuss that a little bit. But how do you reflect on the season so far, my friend? Because is it harder than you thought it was going to be?
Yeah, a lot harder. I sort of had an inkling after Southampton that, you know, this was going to be a really tough test. And it has proved exactly that. There was getting a point away at Charlton was brilliant. You know, they're still top of the league and, you know, doing really well up there. And then to beat Portsmouth the game after, you know, there was that upward trajectory. And then you go to Sheffield United, a team that finished bottom last season, you know, would have got relegated if it weren't for Blackburn's, you know, off the pitch circumstances. You lose and that momentum sort of goes. And then they're just into a really tough run of games, playing against some of the, you know, best teams in the division, teams that will be going for WSL football, you know, throughout the season and hoping to get promoted. So it has been really, really difficult. You know, every game it looks like they have good spells in games. But it's just the silly errors, mistakes that they're conceding an awful lot from. You know, I've watched the and crosses, you know, as I mentioned earlier, it's too many goals are getting conceded from crosses or corners. They're not defending them very well. I know that the team and Joe is aware of that, but they're still doing it. Did it today. I know London City Lionesses are, you know, of higher quality opposition than what would normally be faced in the WSL2, but they are conceding an awful lot from crosses and corners. Silly mistakes. I was watching, you know, the Bristol City highlights, and it's, you know, three of their goals came from just poor defending, silly mistakes. The first London City goal today came from an unfortunate, you know, how they got the ball. It was really fortunate for them, but you can't allow a Finnish international to take it and then just run without any sort of challenge into the box and then just pretty much pass it into the far corner. It's poor defending and silly mistakes that's costing them. It isn't, you know, them getting outplayed a lot of the time and, you know, getting cut through. It's poor back passes. It's not defending very well. It's, you know, a shot that goes in and is fumbled back into the path of an attacker. It's just not working very well. And I know that they'll all be disappointed in that. And we'll be working to turn it around. But obviously we're 9 games in, got 2 games, Sunderland and Durham up next. And they'll have played every single team that they need to play and it'll be back round to playing each other again. So it's been really difficult. And that's shown in their league position. I know it's still a long way to go and things can change, but you know, 5 points adrift is definitely not where anyone wanted the team to be come a month until Christmas.
Yeah, because the big thing is just conceding poor goals. And obviously the goal difference is not looking good at all. You know, minus 20, 27 goals conceded. Portsmouth have conceded 24 as well, so they're not doing too good in terms of conceding. Of course, they're a team we've won against, but they've won 3 games, which has been the frustrating part of it because, you don't have much room for a mistake in this division because, yeah, you're going to get punished. But, yeah, it's a disappointing thing because this team is sort of had form of clean sheets and that was in the third tier, but Joe's teams have always been really solid. But there is a lot of players, and I hate to keep saying this, but there is a lot of players making the step up to this division for the first time. They're learning game by game. And we're going to discuss sort of standout players later on in the podcast. But we're going to hear from Joe on his thoughts on the season so far. Once again, he's also experiencing this division for the first time as a manager as well. So I'm sure he's learning every game, even on the training grounds. The thing as well is there's so many different clubs in this division have got a massive budget. Even Nottingham Forest, who went up just with us as well from the northern section, I think they've got a bigger budget than us. So sometimes, like, how do you compete against those sort of teams? You know, that's not an excuse. It's just like, yeah, they can sort of recruit a bit more than us because they've got that money. But, you know, it's always going to be a hard task. I think maybe on our preview podcast, Tom, we were a bit maybe ambitious. We're like going sick finish, going to score in every game, all that sort of stuff. But, you know, you just get excited. You're going into the league for the first time. It's new territory for the club. But let's hear what Joe's got to say on the season so far, and we'll discuss players who may need to improve and other bits and bobs we want to talk about on the season so far. But here's Joe.
How has it been for you this first half of the season? Obviously, it's tougher than you might have imagined. You know, probably not the position you wanted to be in. How has it been? How have you found it?
Yeah, good challenge. You know, it's something we worked so hard for so long to be in this position. We're not quite where we want to be. You know, we'd like to have more points on the board, but we also appreciate where we've come from. The experience that a lot of the group does have is not at this level. Despite adding some players, you know, we've still got players that are learning on the job and growing with each game. And yeah, I guess unfortunate I wasn't able to build on the point at Charlton and the win against Portsmouth. You know, we didn't play great at Sheffield United, but we thought we were well in the game towards the end before we had a player sent off. And then I think since followed that, we've probably played probably the best three teams in the division, from Birmingham, Newcastle, Bristol City. I think having them in a row it's been a bit unlucky. And obviously Palace came down last year and have got on paper a really, really good side. So yeah, to have those four games in a row, I think it puts things into perspective a little bit. But yeah, you know, we've obviously had to play those games. We can have to play the hand that we're dealt. But yeah, four difficult games. So disappointing it wasn't able to build on the good start. It'd have been good to pick something up at Bramall Lane. But again, the games that followed that, just playing four really good teams. Again, Crystal Palace have had a difficult start, but yeah, if you look at the amount of players they've got that were playing in the Super League last year in comparison to some of ours that were playing against MK Dons and Cheltenham, for example. So yeah, it's important that we really do recognise, you know, the journey we've had, and what we do know is still a strong will and appetite and optimism from all of us to keep pushing forwards, and we'll continue to do that.
Yeah, I'm sure they will, Tom. They won't, you know, give up. Although we are going to talk about relegation later on in the podcast. But let's talk about the players, because there is a lot of these players playing in this division for the very first time. Who sort of, you know, standed out so far? Leah Mitchell comes to mind straight away. It's good to see Sophie Pescott score a first goal at this level the other week. Natasha Thomas, you know, once again, been through this journey from the fourth tier to the second tier. And funny enough, it's our 10th anniversary at the football club this month. I think it's potentially our 250th game in the London City Lionesses, which is a mouthful, isn't it? London City Lionesses, bit of a mouthful. Yeah, for you, who's the players you want to sort of give praise to from the opening nine league games?
Leah Mitchell, as already mentioned, I think has been probably the best player, I'd say, for Ipswich so far this season. She's, I think, started every league game and often had to start in midfield because of all the injury problems that they've had there, and did really well there. Has played at centre-back as well and has done well there. So I'd say definitely her. You know, first time at this level, but I don't think you'd think it watching her. And, you know, at such a young age as well, I'm sure she'll go on to great things. Peskett, as you mentioned as well, great for her to get off the mark. I know that she's been wanting to get that goal for a long time. And I think until the last few games, I think she's been a little bit isolated. She hasn't got on the ball as much. And that's sort of expected when you're coming up against, you know, teams that are going to be attacking and you're, you know, purely going to be defending. There's not been a lot of chance for her to sort of get on the ball and run at her left back and things like that. Obviously, you know, she won the ball high up against Palace to score her first one, and that's sort of what they haven't been getting this season. So great for her to get off the mark. I think Natasha Thomas, every time she's played, she's often had to play out on the wing rather than you know, up top, which is what we've all come to expect. But she's, you know, she's quick, done well on that left wing, and did well today as well. I thought she's, you know, really quick in chasing down defenders. Obviously, again, you know, she was marked by a World Cup winner, so tough task, World Cup and Women's Champions League with a winner with Barcelona. So it's, yeah, didn't have an easy job today. But I think she's been really good. I think Summer Hughes deserves a little bit of a shout out as well. I think she's been solid at left back since she's come in, and I think she missed the start of the season a couple of games. But obviously the central midfield issues meant that Bethan Rowe had to go into midfield, and Summer Hughes got that chance at left back, and I think she's been good. She often gets forward and tries to make things happen when she can. Obviously she's been more defensive this season than she has been previously. And I mean, it's Bethan Rowe, I think, has been the best signing, in my opinion. I think she's she understands what obviously the league is about, had to play in different positions since coming in, you know, left back, centre back, centre mid. So, and she's done well wherever she's had to play. So I'd say those four or five players have probably been the ones that I've looked at and gone, okay, they're, you know, doing all right at this level.
Yeah, and of course, yeah, Bethan Rowe's also had the captain's armband a few times when Boz has not been in the squad or not starting. So, yeah, I'll give her a shout-out as well, Bethan Rowe, because she's done okay. She also got suspended, didn't she? So she missed a few games because of that suspension. Was it the Sheffield United game where she got sent off? Yeah. And, yeah, injuries has been another big thing. I know it's not, it shouldn't be an excuse, but there has been injuries. There's been illnesses as well in the squad. So Joe's had to sort of play players out of position, as you said. But yeah, Nat Negri potentially gets another shout as well. Like, she's made some really good saves this season, but there has been a few moments where I'm like, oh, she's got to do better there. Some of her kicking as well, Nat, if you're watching or listening, improve on your kicking, because the last game against Crystal Palace was not good. But, you know, let's talk about players who maybe need to improve a little bit, because maybe some of the new signings have got experience at this level, maybe haven't done as well as we're hoping they're going to. Jenna Deer is probably one of them. If she is listening to this podcast, I have to say she's been frustrating me the last few games with some of her passing and stuff like that. But she's obviously experienced this level. But anybody else that's sort of like Rihanna Dean, maybe she scored a few goals, but sometimes she can be a bit of an isolated figure up top. Sometimes you can't help that when your team is sort of, you know, not really creating anything. But yeah, there's some players who still need to improve this. You know, players who are playing at this level for the first time who are struggling. Who should we talk about?
Obviously, you've mentioned Deer and Dean. I feel a little bit bad for Rihanna Dean, just because, as you said, it's tough when your back's against, you know, the walls, and the only thing that you're sort of doing for 70, 80 minutes of a game is defending and booting the ball up pitch, which inevitably never goes anywhere except to the defenders. So she's sort of had to chase tails for a lot of the season. I think, and it's you know, not nice to say, because she was so good the first time she was here and got a deserved move up the pyramid, but I think Paige Peak is one of those players that I was expecting a lot more from. You know, she has been at fault for a few of the mistakes and poor passes and, you know, putting Negri in a bit of trouble with some of her passes back. And I think I was expecting a little bit more from her, especially as she's played at this level before and knows what sort of attackers are like. And it's been, you know, she's one of those players that I think would have done or should be doing better than she is. I think it's hard to say that Grace Neville hasn't, because she's sort of tried to do what she can, but obviously with a lot of the goals coming from crosses, you know, some of those she should really be cutting out and stopping, especially for someone that has played, you know, with a team that got promoted out of this league. And, you know, as a New Zealand international, I think there's one or two times that I think I've been wanting a little bit more from her. You know, I think the central midfield signings of, I mean, Ruby Doe's been pretty much injured since joining us as Sophie Bajent, so can't judge them. But it's, I think what I'd like to see is just because it's clearly, you know, something's not working with the team, or if Joe can, after the international break, just try and play as many of the players that were at the club last season as possible. You know, Negri in goal, and then Mitchell right back, Waring and Boz in centre back, Hughes left back, Kyra and maybe Fleming or Doe if she's back in midfield. Lucy O'Brien obviously had been one that's been injured for a couple of months. But if she's back and, you know, is ready to start a game, her and, you know, Tash up top with Ruby Seabee and Sophie Peskett or something like that on the wings, just because, you know, it'd be good just to try that out. They've obviously played with each other before and have had more time together. And then obviously if that isn't working still, then you've got, you know, these experienced players to bring on and hopefully do something with. But I was just expecting a lot more from players that would have experience in this league that have come in to, you know, be that experience and help the team out. And it's not working really at all. So,
oh, well said, Tom. Yeah, I have to admit, I've been a bit disappointed with some players. But yeah, like Paige Peak, I know she's got high standards, you know, from when she's coming through the academy, and she has got high standards. I'm sure she's disappointed, you know, in her performances, you know, especially because she scored that goal, that winning goal against Portsmouth, you know, stepping up for that penalty, because that was a pressure penalty, and her to score that, and that was the first win, and that's an opportunity to kick on. But, you know, since then, unfortunately, there's been some goals, some poor goals conceded. And it's just her fault. There's been other, you know, players who's been at fault for, you know, lapse of concentration and defensive lapses. Like, set pieces have been a bit disappointing as well. A bit frustrating, some, you know, free kicks and some drills. I don't know. I think we need to be maybe a bit smart with certain things. I don't know if Joe will change his system. I don't know if he'll change that. I think that's what maybe some frustrations with the fans. Will, you know, would Joe change his formation? Will he, you know, play different players in different positions? But yeah, obviously at the end of the day, that's Joe's decision. But, you know, this club has been on one hell of a journey. And, you know, they're still sort of learning on the job, really. But it will be interesting to see how we get on in the next two games, because they're two long away trips, Tom, Durham and Sunderland, which is just, you know, that's so far. Bloody so far. but yeah, we're going to now hear from Joe on sort of the bigger picture, because at the end of the day, unfortunately, when you get to this division, when there's only one team that can go down, sort of relegation do get talked about a little bit, because we're 5 points adrift at the moment, goal difference in play. You know, we're not giving up just yet, but you asked Joe on that. Let's hear what he had to say.
This league can change so quickly. only one team gets relegated, and you know, 5 points from safety, two wins in December, and you're out of it potentially. That must, you know, it must be encouraging that, you know, just a couple of wins and you could be, you know, clear of relegation.
Yeah, absolutely, that's it. And you know, we have a lot more data that we're exposed to this year, and you know, there's lots of things, like I said, that we have to improve on. But you know, there's examples where, you know, our XG4 is almost the same as Charlton's, and they sit top of the division. So yeah, I don't think we've had probably, I know you make it yourself, but I think you can definitely benefit from good fortune in this division. And I've looked at some data and some games back of teams in around us, and you know, Portsmouth to score two late on with 10 players in the manner that they did. Portsmouth beating Palace, you know, there's some bits of real good fortune there. Charlton winning against Southampton 2-1 with an XG of 0.08.
Yeah.
And 58% success with the ball. You know, some of our numbers have been a little bit better than that on some occasions, yet we're falling short with getting beaten. So, yeah, hopefully, you know, we'll keep working hard, we'll keep progressing, and we can get a little bit of good fortune go our way as well. I think it will certainly help.
Yeah, because I don't think we've had that much luck, have we? But don't get me started on XG, though. Bloody hell. But, you know, Joe Alien Day is a modern football manager. He's going to have to say that, and they have to look into that because it is a modern thing. But I do not get involved in that. But yeah, how you feeling, mate? You know, 9 games in. You know, we're not going to go and put out there right now, you know, our decision on what's going to happen. But, you know, your gut feeling at the moment, you know, I think maybe this next 2 games in the league is crucial to see, because they're down below there. And we've got to beat these sort of teams or get a good result anyway against Durham and Sunderland, who are, you know, they're in the bottom half of the table. So, yeah, sort of big games coming up after this international break.
Yeah, very big, I think. I don't want to say they can't afford to, because there is still a long way to go of the season. But I think if they get 0 points and go into the Charlton game, who, you know, could well be top when they come to the JobServe Community Stadium in January. If they, you know, if Ipswich don't get any more points before then, you know, it could. I don't know how many points they could be behind, but it can change really quickly, this league, and, you know, a few wins and they're, you know, they're up there, but they're in a position now where Portsmouth have to lose games, and, you know, other teams have to help them out, and Durham need to lose games, Crystal Palace need to lose games, and you know, the teams around them, they're not, you know, they're not playing really until mid-February. So they really need to get, you know, points on the board before January starts. Otherwise, they're into Charlton, then Bristol City, and then Newcastle. And all three teams will be up there at the end of the season. I know that Bristol City and Charlton will be at home, which, you know, could help. But then playing Portsmouth in, you know, mid-February, that's the next game that sort of are playing a team around them after Sunderland and Durham. And, you know, I could get wins, could get points against those three teams. But if they don't, and if they don't get points against Sunderland and Durham, then all of a sudden there's a further 5 losses in the league going into Portsmouth, who may well have won 2 out of those 5 games that they have, and you're further behind than just 5 points. So they really do need to get something out of the next month. Otherwise, it could be an impossible task to try and get themselves out of it, especially with the goal difference, as you mentioned, because, I mean, they are scoring Ipswich. They're not, you know, unfortunately, it's often consolation goals. But, you know, they are scoring. But I think I haven't seen anything to suggest that they will put away a team 2-3 nil. If they're going to win, it'll be 1-0, 2-1, 3-2, as they did with Portsmouth. So the goal difference would have a big thing to say, big part to play in the season. So they really do need to start picking up some points soon, because we're almost halfway through and they've won one game and drawn one, and a 5 points adrift.
Yeah, this league, you know, there's not many games. You know, it's only 22 games in total. So yeah, you know, they do come thick and fast. And the thing about this team as well, they're not used to losing, especially, you know, the crop you mentioned. You know, they've lost games in the past, but that's just one every 5 months or something. They've unfortunately lost 7 in a row in all competitions, which is a weird thing, a feeling. I think even for us as, you know, reporters and fans are listening as well, like, they've not been used to this team losing week in, week out. And, you know, it does hurt. I'm sure it does. You know, they're going into the training ground, working hard all week, preparing for the game, and then they lose. And it's like, you know, all that hard work, you know, wasn't for nothing because they tried their best. But, you know, they lose, and then it happens again, and it's happening again. And it's just, I'm sure it is, you know, it is hard to take. I'm sure Joe takes a lot home with him, thinking, what else can I do to get the win over the line? I'm quickly looking at Portsmouth next two fixtures. And they actually have some tough ones. They have Charlton next up, who are, of course, top, as you mentioned. Then Newcastle. So they've got some, you know, Newcastle in the top half of the table. So, yeah, Portsmouth. Annoyingly, Portsmouth, both of their games are at home. So we've got two away trips, but Portsmouth at home. And that's, you know, for me, that is a crucial thing at this level, I'm sure. I think that's where we're potentially going to get our results this season, potentially at home, because, you know, we've got that good point away at Charlton, which is very good indeed. We've got the win against Portsmouth. But yeah, I think, you know, we're going to have to make Colchester our fortress. And that's another little mention I want to say to the fans who have been going to the games, because it's been a really good crowd. I've got the Summer Hughes song in my head. Thank you very much, Megan Wary's dad. Summer Hughes. He was chanting that today at the game. And it's in my head right now. When you mentioned Summer Hughes in the podcast, I literally came in and went, and I started that chant. But yeah, you know, the fans, I think, you know, that you can see they're still there trying to support the girls as much as possible. It's actually been really good, actually, to see Palace and London City Lionesses. They've had drummers as well. So we've had two drummers at the game for back-to-back home games, which has been really good. But yeah, you know, it's going to be a big challenge. I'm sure Joe Sheehan and the staff know this, and the players. But we've just got to back them as much as possible. And, you know, the players, you know, just don't give up. You know, I'm sure there's, you know, some players out there, you know, disappointed on their own performances. But these next two games are crucial, Tom, my friend. And also the FA Cup draw. As we record this, we don't know who we've got yet, so we'll find out. That could be a nice somewhat distraction. You know, we've always enjoyed the FA Cup. So hopefully that's a good opportunity to get a win, because just winning in any competition will bring loads of confidence to this group. But yeah, anything else you want to mention, my friend?
Yeah, just momentum is huge. Especially, you know, at this level, and when you've lost seven in a row, it does feel like, when is the next win going to come from? Durham obviously up next. If they don't win there, then, as you said, FA Cup, there could well be, because WSL teams don't come into it. Obviously, would hate to get a WSL 2 team. That would be probably, I think, the world would probably be against.
It'll be Crystal Palace again.
Yeah. The world would be against the Ipswich Town women if, you know, Crystal Palace gets drawn to be played away at Sutton United for would be the third time in a season. So hopefully a nice little, you know, third tier, fourth tier team that would, you know, they could put a few goals past and, you know, get a win. And even if they do, you know, get a couple of wins over the next few games, that could then go, okay, we know we're, you know, we can win, and just get that momentum going with those wins. The longer, obviously, it goes without a win, tougher it will be. So I think a really good tie in the FA Cup would be fantastic. But as you say, I don't think none of the players are going home thinking, done my job, you know, didn't do very well, but who cares? They're you know, I know that they're all giving their best out there and will be really disappointed in the position that the club is in and, you know, will want to change it soon. So there will be wins, I'm sure of it. You know, it won't be one and done for Ipswich in the league. They will win again, I'm pretty sure. Just hope that that's sooner rather than later.
Yes, indeed, because we don't want to be doing podcasts and going, oh, they lost again. But yeah, it's a big step up, but I'm sure they're gonna take this challenge on, and we'll be interested to see if, you know, if there's any new signings, because we've got a general transfer window. If there's players available, they could go for. I'm sure there'll be players back from injury as well. And, you know, you just never know behind the scenes with certain players, you know, illnesses and just, you know, just general stuff. So we'll find out. But I hope you've enjoyed the return of the Track the Girls Talk podcast. It's been a while, but we'll try our best to record one more before the end of the year, because we want to do our nice, as we normally try to do, a season review. Well, not season review, a year of review, 2025, because, yeah, unfortunately, it's been a year of two halves. Of course, the start of the year and the promotion celebrations are unbelievable. And then, of course, we've had the challenge in the second tier. But, you know, it's still incredible, though, isn't it, Tom, to see this team in the second tier of women's football playing against these sort of players, seeing, you know, internationals, you know, pop up at Colchester. You know, who have we seen so far? I've seen Nikita Paris in this game. I'm trying to think who else. There's been a couple more, but my mind's going blank. Anybody else that comes to mind?
There was another Brit playing today, Zelma, okay. I think.
Katie Zellum,
or English. Zellum? Yes, yeah. Yes, that's it. She's made appearances for England. Jordan Nobbs was playing for
Demi Stokes for Newcastle. Yeah,
you know, household name playing for Newcastle a few games back. I think Birmingham had a South Korean in their team who had played some like 150 games for South Korea. I think Birmingham also had an American international goalkeeper starting for them. So it's just the caliber of player that they're coming up against that, you know, they won't have done that unless it was, you know, in the FA Cup, like last season against Manchester City, you know, playing Chloe Kelly and things like that. But they won't have played internationals in the league or in the League Cup. So all of a sudden you've got, you know, these big names that have got to the finals of European championships and World Cup winners as today, and players that have played for Arsenal, Manchester United, Barcelona, you know, playing at Colchester United against a lot of players who have, you know, not played for any other team but Ipswich and have played, you know, have had to work hard to get from where they were to this point now. So it's been great to see those players come down and, you know, you can really see the difference. I think today showed that, and, you know, you can really see some of the quality that those international players had. And yeah, it's, I mean, Ipswich have got full internationals, you know, in Natasha Thomas in Jamaica, who obviously since the last pod scored her first goal for them. So congratulations to her. I'm sure she's absolutely buzzing with that. And Grace Neville playing for New Zealand. And
won't talk about results.
No. Natalia Negri now playing for England under 23s or under 21s, one of the two. Megan Waring, you know, on the verge of under 23s for Scotland, or may have already played for them. So, they'll have internationals that, you know, maybe not England internationals as it currently stands, but in the future, who knows? That, you know, it's all a good learning experience and great experience for those players as well to play against these players and play with internationals.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think there's two players so far as we record this, have been called up. Nat Negri for England under 23s and Meg for Scotland under 23s. So they'll be off on international duty, but I'm sure there'll be maybe a few more potentially. But, you know, this is an opportunity now for Joe and the rest of the team to, I think he mentioned they could maybe do an in-house sort of friendly if they can. But they've got, you know, time on the training ground to learn and sort of watch what Durham and Sunderland have done so far and get ready for the winter period because, yeah, this is sort of crucial time for the team. But I hope you've enjoyed this latest Track the Girls Talk podcast. We'll try our best not to leave it as late as we have done for this one. But Tom, thank you so much for joining me. Thanks everyone for listening and we'll be back hopefully very soon to bring you another episode. So thanks again. Bye-bye for now.